Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Teak, obviously, man, week two, the next week comes quick, and here we are getting ready for week number two, and it's time for Thursday Night Football, and the preview brought to you by the new 2018 Ford F-150. That's the official truck of the NFL. Doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar. Joining us to preview tomorrow night's game is the voice of Thursday Night Football on Westwood One, the great Iron Eagle. Iron, what's happening, brother? How are you?
And just like that, we're back.
Here we go.
Week. Unbelievable. Yeah, you're right. It is a quick turnaround, and I think the players feel it, and when you're banged up like the Houston Texans are right now, you feel it even more so. Five guys have already been ruled out of this game, and most of them are tight ends. They legitimately have no tight ends left to work with. They had to promote a guy on their practice squad to be the only healthy tight end. That's Evan Bayless, a rookie out of Oregon.
Is that Skip's, is that Skip's cousin?
I believe.
Or Jared's brother, maybe?
If you listen for the call tomorrow night, you never know. Bayless could be skipping into the end zone.
There we go. Before we actually get into the Texans and the Bengals, now, Ian was on the call for the Rams and the Colts, Cavernous Coliseum. What was the bigger surprise to you, the fact that Jared Goff actually looked functional or the fact that there were 40,000 empty seats?
Yeah, I've been to L.A. now twice in the last 3 weeks. We had a preseason broadcast there as well, and that was L.A. versus L.A. That was Chargers against the Rams, and there may have been 18,000 people for that game. This is a 90,000-seat stadium, and I would say there were 37,500 in that range for this season opener. The interest level is not what they anticipated in L.A. They didn't have a team there for 21 years. Now they've got two teams, and nobody is all that locked into this. There was no buzz in Los Angeles about the Rams or the Chargers, for that matter. And now the Rams get the win. That might change some opinions. They did play well. Goff looked good.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts are not very good, guys. Oh, and even with a healthy Andrew Luck, their roster is just not up to snuff right now.
You know, we had Eric Dickerson on yesterday, and obviously he's been elevated to a vice president of business development with the Rams. And one of the things that he mentioned was just the Coliseum being so old. Do you think when the new stadium is built that this will change a little bit, that the buzz will come back, that people will say, hey, this is a destination? Or is L.A. just not a place for a football team, much less two?
Yeah, in my experience, when you do have a new facility, there is the novelty of that. There's a curiosity, and I do think L.A. is an event town. So what they're trying to create and visualize is an event every Sunday at this facility, this brand spanking new stadium. The problem for them, weather has been an issue, so it's pushed the plans back a full year. They're not going to be ready to go until 2020. So you're talking about 2017, 18, and 19 in the Coliseum.
Yeah.
And then the StubHub Center, which holds about 32, and they've now roped off some of the seats. They want capacity to be right in the 27,000 range, and I don't think they're going to fill that out for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, come on.
Tiki, there's no doubt there will be an interest level based on something that's new and shiny and different, but I don't know if they can sustain it. Those teams would have to be really good, really fast for the fans in that area to get on board.
I mean, that's embarrassing. I mean, geez, you can't bear 30,000 people. Oh, my God. Iron Eagle with us here. Westwood One, of course, got the game tomorrow night. Texans, Bengals. I feel like this week came a little quick for the bookies as well. I don't know how you lay 6.5 points if you put money on Cincinnati thinking that. I mean, I don't know what the hell happened to Andy Dalton. And, you know, what really jumps out to me, Ian, and I understand that it's part of the economics of the game and that you are limited, and especially if you have a quarterback that's making a lot of money, it's tough to really disperse funds throughout the rest of the roster. I get that. But there are at least three, and I might be leaving one out, really good teams, at least in theory, who might have their seasons absolutely sabotaged by offensive lines. The Texans, the Giants, and Seattle. It's amazing.
You're right. You're right. It's a huge issue. I did the game Monday night with Dan Fouts, and Ross Tucker, a former offensive lineman in the NFL, was working the sidelines, and he made the point in the pregame show that that might be the difference in separating the playoff teams from the non-playoff teams this year. The inability for certain GMs during the offseason to address clear needs. And I look at Cincinnati as an example, just putting my charts together, taking charts from last year, the year before. I try to find notes that might still be germane and applicable. And I look at what they've done in this offensive line. It's not the same. They allowed Andrew Whitworth to leave. He's been a fixture for that team for so many years. Yep. And he signs the big contract to go out west and work with Jared Goff. They don't really have a replacement. They're going with Cedric Oguehi there, who didn't really have a great time at right tackle. Now he's playing left tackle. Mm-hmm. They've got Jake Fisher at right tackle. They've got an injured Trey Hopkins at right guard, inexperienced. The two guys that you know are Bowling and Bodine, and that's it. Everybody else right now is unproven on that offensive line, and it showed. It revealed itself in week one. They didn't look good. Houston really struggling on that front because they didn't give Dwayne Brown the money. He wanted to renegotiate. He's holding out. He was the anchor of that line. They've got Kendall Lamb, who is an undrafted free agent that was a blocking tight end they would bring in as a sixth offensive lineman. He's starting at left tackle. Jeff Allen is out, right guard. They paid him big money to come from Kansas City. They had to sign Breno Giacomini because they couldn't get their guys healthy. It's a big issue, and it revealed itself very early. Week one, I thought that was a major theme around the league.
Ian, this Thursday night game that you will be covering out there tomorrow, obviously the two coaches are interesting for different reasons. Bill O'Brien has never been able to figure out how to get a quarterback, even though he's a quarterback guru. He flips in and out all the time, and it looks like he's going to start Deshaun Watson for this Thursday night endeavor. Obviously, we know the issues with Marvin Lewis and not being able to win playoff games. You hate to say after week one, but both of these teams are in trouble, but the Houston Texans clearly are. And the Bengals put up a donut at home. I mean, could either of these guys be gone before the season's done?
Yeah, it's strange, guys, when you prepare for these games. Normally, you look back on the previous week. And I know sometimes there's overreaction in week one. Oftentimes, it's almost like a fifth preseason game because some teams just aren't up to speed. But my reaction after watching some of their performance from last week, you're basically asking yourself, which team played worse?
Yeah.
Because they both got dismantled. Here's the Houston situation. You just alluded to it, Tiki. Bill O'Brien, that was his background, his work with Tom Brady, his work with Christian Hackenberg, even at Penn State. I do think elevated him to some degree in the eyes of NFL analysts. They have not been able to settle in on a quarterback. This will be their ninth different starting quarterback since Bill O'Brien took over. I'm going to give you names.
Hold on. Let's see if we can name them. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
In no order. We got T.J. Yates. We got Schaub. We got Ryan Fitzpatrick. We've got Brock Osweiler.
Savage.
We've got Savage is five. We've got Watson is six.
Hoyer.
Oh, Brian Hoyer is seven.
I'm missing two. I don't know.
I said T.J. Yates. That's usually the tricky one. Help
you
us out, Ian. Who are we missing
one
here?
The Schaub one was not in O'Brien's tenure, so you got to take him off.
All right, my bad. All right. Who else are we missing?
You're missing Mallett.
Oh, wow.
How could we do that?
You're missing Case Keenum.
Case, yes.
You're missing Brandon Whedon.
Oh, man.
Think about that list. Guys. That's nine quarterbacks deep that they've rotated through.
It's been four years.
In the same period. That just doesn't come.
That's ugly.
In this league, we understand. I don't want to oversimplify it. I don't want to overanalyze it.
Yeah,
if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to win consistently. I give O'Brien a lot of credit for finding ways, creative ways, to win. Now, he had a great defense. We understand that kept them in a lot of games. At some point, he and Watson are going to have to be on the same page. And I think he got to a point where he thought, okay, I wanted to ease him into this. We can't do it. Tom Savage is not going to win games. He's not going to have the confidence of this locker room. Watson, though, is not walking into a situation that is built for success. They don't have receivers. Will Fuller out. Bruce Ellington out. We mentioned all the tight ends. Three of them out. They're banking on DeAndre Hopkins. They get Jalen Strong back. They've got Braxton Miller, who's an unproven receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some issues right now, big issues.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Ian, final thing for me, and Ian Eagle, of course, on the call tomorrow, the Texans and the Cincinnati Bengals, Westwood One, with us here on Tiki and Tierney. You know, about O'Brien, you know, he's got a little bite to him. We saw him on Hard Knocks, not afraid to throw around some off-color language. He's a guy's guy. I like him. I like him. He generally lets us know how he feels, and he's not a phony. But I wonder, and I don't know if you can get this in meetings and just kind of the, you know, innuendo around the league. Do you think that he's flexible enough to suppress his ego? And because every coach has one, just like every broadcaster has one, to suppress his ego, go to Deshaun Watson and say, listen, what do you like in this playbook? What do you not like? And what you like, we will do.
It's a great question, DT. I look back again at my notes from last year. George Gotsi was calling the plays. He isn't anymore. He isn't on the coaching staff. Something happened there. Bill O'Brien has taken over the duties. It's his way or the highway. There were rumors last year. We're not that far removed from them. That Bill O'Brien was moving on, that he was looking at other opportunities,
yeah.
And the owner had to come out and say, no, that's not happening. We're okay. We're on the same page. Innuendo that he and Rick Smith were not together and in harmony, the GM of the team. So I think there's smoke there. There might even be some fire there. Tiki mentioned it early in the conversation. I don't know if it'll be Bill that wants to move on. I don't know if the Texans will want to move on. He does have this young new quarterback, and if they can click, that'll put a lot of this rhetoric off to the side.
Good stuff. Have a great broadcast, Ian. Appreciate a couple of minutes, man. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. It's a color rush. Get excited for that.
Oh, that's nice.
Right. That's right. I actually kind of like those.
I do, too.
I really do. I don't mind them.
But
I have no problem with that.
They didn't do it on the opening night, right?
No.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they figured they didn't have to. People would watch anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think that's why people watch.
Nah, but, well, it's not why they want them, but they're just trying to sell more merchandise. That's why they're doing it, you know?
Sure.
All right, good stuff. Thursday Night Football brought to you by the new Ford 2018 Ford F-150, the official truck of the NFL. It doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar. So Ian is on the call. That is tomorrow night, Westwood One, NFL announcer, really good guy, really great broadcaster as well. We'll chat with Ian every week here on Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.